But today, let's talk about Gideon. Less is more. Less is more. You know, sometimes we get upset when more is removed and we have less. But I want to show you today how less can be more when God's hand is in it, when God's hand's all over it, and God's leading and directing and guiding. And so we're going to look at Gideon today, and I want us to notice a few things. That Gideon struggled. He struggled to overcome the fear of living up to the potential that God had spoke to him. Like many of us today, we have to overcome that fear when God speaks something into our lives and calls us into a whole new realm and dimension of where to go and what to do. And I believe that we're going to notice that, you know, he had to overcome that to become the mighty warrior that God had called him to be. I hope that today in the message you'll understand the importance of removing anything that you have placed above God. Any idol. There's idol worship in America. Let's not fool ourselves today. Let's not pretend there isn't. There is. And when I speak of idol worship, we'll get more into it, is where we love something more than we love God. And we spend more, we'll get more into it. Today, we're going to see how Gideon tore down those idols or those altars of Baal. And he went after what God asked him to do. And I pray today that, you know, you'll notice and you'll begin to apply the ability to stand strong in on your trust and your belief on who God is and the faithfulness of God in our lives and the power that he pours into us. And so, and again, that less can be more when God's hand's in it. And so the story of Gideon really is just a few chapters in the book of Judges in the Old Testament. It's about a man that God uses in a mighty way to bring victory for the people, for God's people. But what had happened was God's people once again had turned their back from serving God and for living for God and for doing what God wanted them to do. And what happened was they began to allow idols to come into their lives. They began to put God on the back burner. They began to walk away from the full worship and the full ability to embrace who God was, even though they have come through a lot with God leading and guiding from various things, from being pulled out of captivity, and God no longer was their number one. And what happened was, all of a sudden, as they pulled away from God, as they walked away from God, from the hand of provision and protection and the guidance, all of a sudden, the Midianites and the Amalekites all of a sudden began to have rule and reign and dominion over them. And it became an issue to the point where they would have to hide when they were working, where they would have to live in caves, because at any time they would show up and take what they wanted. It'd be like someone coming in here today and walking up in the middle of this message and just grabbing Christian's guitar and taking it because they wanted it. And we could do nothing about it. Now, let me tell you something. No one's going to touch the guitar, just so you don't get worried about that. We got that. But see, they would lose food, they would lose cattle, they would lose all these things because they were living in fear. They were being controlled and ruled over by a group of people because of their struggle and their lack of listening to God and worshiping God and making Him first and foremost. And so here they sit. And then all of a sudden, God hears them because after about 7 years, they begin to pray to God. God, where are you? We need your help, God. So God sends a prophet, and he begins to share and speak things. And as the prophet speaks, then the angel of the Lord speaks to Gideon and calls Gideon out from the threshing floor of where he was threshing the wheat to provide for the family and many other families in the community while hidden in the ground, or they would consider it a cave. He meets with them face to face. And he looks at Gideon, and he calls Gideon mighty man of valor, mighty warrior. And then Gideon has this dialogue with him and questions certain things. And what I want to do, though, is when you jump to the seventh chapter, because we're going to read that, what happens is all of a sudden God is with Gideon, and he says this, and I want to read the back part first. Before we get to the first part, I want to read the part where less becomes more when we realize that God's hand is in it. See, in Gideon, in Judges chapter 7, verse 2, the Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many people with you for me to give the Midianites into your hands." Ooh, Lord, you mean these 32,000 warriors aren't enough? I have too many? Lord, they've been coming and taking at will what they want, and now you're telling me this is too many? And the Lord says, yeah, it's too many, Gideon. And so, lest you glorify themselves over me, our own power, saying our own power would save us. He says, so call out. He says, so now call out so the people can hear what whoever is afraid or anxious may return and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 left that day. Now, if you are a commander of an army and they are giving an option to your soldiers, if you're a little bit nervous, you can leave. And you have 32,000 and 22,000 leave that day. You're going, oh my, we have a situation happening right now. But God looks at it from the throne room and says, you know what, Gideon? The 10,000 is still way too many. And so he goes on and he talks to Gideon and he tells them to have them come to the waterside and drink. And he says, and when they drink, if they drink and they lap like a dog, we're going to keep them. But if they kneel down and they don't lap like a dog, we're going to let them go home. And so what happened was, all of a sudden, the number in verse 6, the number of those who lapped, put their hands to their mouth, was 300. And the rest of the people knelt to drink. And the Lord said to Gideon in verse 7, with these 300 men who lapped to drink, I will save you. I will save you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power in your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that makes your word come alive. Lord, speak to us today. Encourage us, strengthen us to be just like Gideon and his 300. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, when the natural, less doesn't always mean more, right? Less doesn't always mean more in the natural. But in the supernatural and in the working of God's hand in it, it does. Now, I don't know about you, but we may right now be feeling like Gideon. Like all of a sudden we had all this stuff or all these things going in the right direction and whatever it may be, but all of a sudden it's less, or God began to move less, and now we're standing there and we're saying, well, what's going to happen? How are we going to get through this? How is this going to work out for us? Well, the Lord told Gideon, with those 300, we will have victory. I will save you. See, the key part to the 300 isn't really the number of men. It's the presence of God with the 300. Right? And in our lives, it's the same way. It's not about how much we have or even how little we have. It's about, is the hand of God in our lives? Is the presence of God moving? Is the Holy Spirit leading and directing? Because it's when we're totally submitted and totally moving and functioning in his direction, that's when breakthrough happens. That's when breakthrough happens. And so, you know, it can be very difficult, you know, and even at times to understand how this could be. But we have to understand what Proverbs tells us. Because we can't always think in our own understanding. The Bible says in Proverbs to trust the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. I'm sure Gideon was like, and we'll talk about it, was in the beginning, was like, really? Are you kidding me? That's what we would do, right? It's natural. We're human. We have humanity in us. But at times we have to realize that it's not my understanding, but it's the understanding of what God shows me. It's not trusting in myself, it's trusting in the Lord. It's not working it out in my own strength and ability, but it's working out with the hand of God giving me the strength and the ability. And each and every one of you has that ability to do just that. And so here we see the army is whittled down. And so in our lives, if we're going to move forward, if we're going to, you know, be able to live in victory, if we're going to be able to conquer those things which the Lord has set us out to conquer in life, to be all that God has called us to be, to do the things that God wants us to do, we're going to, you know, have to kind of do the same thing. We're going to have to really be able to have our faith rise up. Church, we got, as believers, we got to have our faith rise up over every doubt and every fear and every negative emotion, every outside voice, everything that we see in the physical that is not lining up with what I think is going to need to happen. This is where your faith must rise up. Church, let me say, your faith must rise up. Amen. We can't be shaken to and fro by what we think in our own understanding and not in God's understanding. Amen. And so it's here where we need to take our courage and have our courage rise up from the depths within us and realize that we need to stand strong in that faith. It's right here where faith must be our anchor, and we must attach it to God and nothing else and no one else and no other philosophy or teaching, but only the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the presence of God, especially when the impossible seems to look like that's the only option. You with me? We're getting there. It's the supernatural power of God that turns less into more. And so when you look at Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 16, Gideon is working. He's doing his thing. And the angel of the Lord appears. Verse 12, can you pull that up for me? And the angel of the Lord came down and he appeared and he said to him, "O mighty man of valor." Then Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? Where are all his miracles that our fathers told us about?" They said. Let's look at what the angel said to him. He said, "Mighty man of valor, mighty warrior," in some translations. I love this because if you study it out, he's not speaking to what he has already done. He's speaking to the potential that's within him. Let me speak to your potential today. Because in this room, you are full of potential, people. I look at the little ones in the back and on the sides. They're so full of potential. I look at every generation. You're full of potential. But the problem is, when the Lord shows up and begins to speak about your potential, sometimes we get it twisted. And it's like, well, that's not me. That got to be for somebody else. No, no, no. See, the Lord saw something in Gideon that day. He didn't see where he was at the particular point of his journey, but he saw what he can do if he would surrender to him. And so let me encourage everyone who is full of potential in this house today that we must hear what the voice of God is saying to you and about you for where he wants to take you in everyday life. Because you have potential. Do you think about? I think about coaching. I was thinking about this when I was putting this message together, when I was talking about potential. There was kids that you just saw something in. They were gifted. They were talented. And you spoke to them and you spoke into that potential and you encouraged. And that's what God does to us. We see something different. We stand in the mirror and we see something totally different. We may see something good. We may see something bad. We may see something that we perceive as ugly. But God looks and says, no, that's your perception. And sometimes your perception becomes your reality when the reality is that I see it differently, God's saying. He's like, I see you better than you see yourself. And you got some amazing potential. And all I need you to do is surrender, throw your hands up in the air and say, God, I'm all in. And let me work through it. And now here Gideon is, and he's like, me? He's like, you see that in me? He says, do you not realize? The scripture says that he even says, I'm the weakest in our clan. I have nothing special to offer. I'm the smallest. Like, let's think about like athletes, right? It'd be like going up to like a 5 foot kid and saying, dude, you're gonna be the best basketball player. And he's like, and he's around a bunch of kids that are 6 foot tall. He's like, do you not see that I am the shortest of my crew? And you're saying to me that I'm, he's like, yeah, because see, you haven't hit your growth spurt yet. My son went from like 5 foot something in ninth grade, and by the time he graduated, he was 6 foot one. It was like, whoa, I was buying pants like every 2 months. Why? Because he hit a growth spurt. And see, what happens is when we surrender, what we may be when God begins to speak to us, he sees your potential, but then the Spirit of God begins to grow you, begins to encourage you, begins to strengthen you, begins to take you to whole new levels. And that's what the angel saw in Gideon. He saw a man that he could use to change a nation. And I believe God sees that about you. I believe, and it doesn't matter who you, we get so caught up in, well, I'm too young. Well, I'm too old. Just put me out the pasture. Well, I this and I that and I'm not this and I'm, let's stop all the I'm nots and start saying, God, if you said it, I can do it. Amen? And so here, the angel is speaking to him. And we have that potential. What does potential mean? It means we have the capacity or the power or the ability for something to happen and occur. So in you, you have the ability, the capacity for something great to happen. Don't listen to those who said you don't. What do they know? They're not God. Well, they were my fifth grade teacher, so what? What does that matter? Well, they were so... No. I hear the stories all the time. You know the kid in school that you just kind of look like, oh, man. By 19, he's in jail. You know what I'm talking about, right? But all of a sudden, 5 years later, he owns his own business. He's a multimillionaire, happily married with two kids. And you're like, whoa, what happened? Well, see, there was potential in him. The problem was everyone saw the outside and not the inside. And see, so we have to realize and understand what God's saying about us on the inside and not on the outside. Because God can change the inside, which changes the outside, which then takes us to where we need to go. Amen? And so here Gideon is. And so you have the ability for something to happen. It's what you can do, but yet not has been accomplished. It's what you can do, but hasn't been accomplished. You're going to be a pastor and preach the message. I was 19. I'm like, what? And I just want to get through this and that. You know, I want to get the Taco Bell for a midnight taco run. Think about that stuff. Didn't happen yet. But God saw potential. And let me just say this too. There's always room for more potential. There's always room for more. Well, we can never obtain the fullness of where God wants us to go. We can get lazy and we can get tired and we can become lackadaisical and stop pushing and pressing in. And God doesn't want that. What in you is potential. And so it's just a matter of believing and accepting and making the needed changes in our lives, like Gideon was about to do. He was about to surrender, begin to function under the calling which the angel laid to him that day on the threshing floor. It was there he was about to be guided by God Almighty in the choosing of the amount of people. It was there where the hand of God would be upon him as he led his army of 300 people into victory over the Midianites, and there would be freedom in the land. It was there where things were going to change. But let us not do this. See, because many of us don't live up to our potential. And the reason why is this. We think way too small. We think too small. We pray too small. We believe too small. We have to flip the switch on that. We have to start thinking and believing bigger. We have to start praying bigger. We have to start imagining things bigger. Do you know what I see when I come on the grounds of South Towns every week and every day? On a Sunday morning, I see no parking spots available. I'll tell you what I see. Ready for this? I see two golf carts, one on each side. And I see people going out to the farther ends of the parking lot, picking up first-time visitors and guests and dropping them off at the door. See, I see people lining up early for the multiple services that we have, and if needed, more, because there's no space to sit in the sanctuary. See, I see the sanctuary filled with signs, wonders, and miracles. I see broken homes being restored. I see broken marriages being brought back. I see wayward kids coming. I see people laying paraphernalia because there's been addiction at the foot of the cross. I see a worship team of 15 people or so. I see worship not just being a couple songs, because worship isn't about the song. It's about what we do with our attitude as we honor God. And I see what you began to see this morning. This is what I see. This is what I believe. This is what I pray for. But if we don't do that, doesn't change. You have potential because God is with us. Because you and I serve the God of the impossible. Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing is impossible." Nothing is impossible. So we may look at something, or God may call us to be something or do something, and we're like, man, that's not... No, it can happen because of the impossible God that you and I serve. See, the Word also says in Ephesians 3:20 that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think. Come on, or ask. All above. We're thinking one thing, and God's like, man, that's way too small, son. That's way too small. Way too small. See, this is what the angel was speaking to Gideon, and I believe this is what God's speaking to you today. You too are like a Gideon, full of potential. I always say it, I'm such a youth pastor at heart. Parents, speak into your children's potential. Speak life into them. Teach them, encourage them, and when needed, correct them, and then tell them why they're being corrected. Not say, because I'm your daddy, or I'm your mom, or because it's my house and you live under it. Explain to them why. Not that you, hear how I say that. It's not like, it just helps get an understanding for our young people. Okay? And lift them up when they fall. Dust them off. Pray for them. Sneak into their rooms at night when they're sleeping and pray over them. When they got their headsets on and they're playing whatever they're playing on their video games, walk behind them and they don't even realize you're even in the room. Okay? They're totally into what they're doing. And just stand there and pray. They don't need to, now you don't need to walk up and lay hands on and slap up with some anointing oil, but just pray over. Say, Lord, you earmark that one for this. You earmark that child for that. You earmark this for that. Pray into them. And so as God, as we begin to fulfill and live out our potential that God's speaking to you, this is what we can't do. We can't allow the echo of any fear or insecurities or even the faults to silence the voice of God. Right? We can't allow the echoes of fears and insecurities and faults that we may have to silence God's voice. We can't dwell on our failures, past or even present. We can't dwell on them. We can't let them determine the direction that we're going to go when God calls. Okay? We can't. We can't dwell on them. We can't worry about the past or even the frailties of what's going on, or that they'll disqualify us from doing what God asks. See, when we surrender, God cleans us up. When we come and say, Lord, I'm all yours, do what you need to do, He deals with that stuff. And sometimes it's a process and sometimes it's immediate, but He deals with it. So we can't allow it to disqualify us from doing God's work. We can't limit God any longer. Take the limits off of God, please. Take the limits off of God in every department or compartment of your life. See, God's people limited Him. Even in Psalm 78, verse 41, it says that God's people limited the Holy One of Israel. See, they limited them. They saw the sea part. They saw the bondage being set free. And yet they still limited who He was. We see in Judges and what's going on. Why? Because they didn't remember what He did. Let us never forget what God has done in our lives. Let us never forget what God has done on the cross. Let us never forget what God is doing right now. We cannot put a limit on God in any way, shape, or form. He is the God of the impossible. We gotta get tapped into that. We gotta get connected to that. We also must not neglect our own value. Do not neglect your value. You are highly valuable. You need to know that. In God's eyes, you are so... Man's eyes may not see that, but I don't live to please man. I live to please God. I don't live to get the acceptance of man. I live to get the acceptance of God. I don't live to serve... I serve man according to the way God wants me to serve man, because we're all called to be servants, but I don't live to serve in the way that we shouldn't serve, okay? For acceptance and for the ability to be... No. I understand my value. My value isn't rooted in anything other than who God says I am. Do you know how valuable you are? The Bible says that in 1 Peter that you are not redeemed with the corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as our lamb without blemish and without spot. All the world's silver and gold could not have redeemed us to the Father. All the money in the world could not have redeemed you and I. That's how valuable you are. Think about all the money in the world. Think about all the gold and all the silver and all the rubies and all the things that even haven't been pulled out of the ground yet. God says you're more valuable than all of that. You're so valuable that I will send my son Jesus to die for. I will send my son to die for you. That's value. Think of the depth of that. We have a hard time parting with a $5 bill for a homeless guy on the street. And yet God says, you know what? My son will die for you. Whew. There's value. And so he was speaking to your his potential. And God today is saying, you have potential. You have all the potential within you. Let's tap into it. But if you notice, when the angel showed up, where do we find Gideon? He was working. He wasn't at a temple. He wasn't in a worship service. He wasn't at a prayer meeting. He wasn't in a Bible study. He wasn't in a Zoom call with the pastor. No, he was working. And as I was reading that, you know what the Lord really said to me and showed to me? He says, I will meet with my people wherever they will be. He's like, I will come and speak with them when they're in their homes. I will come and my presence will be with them while they're driving their cars to work, while they're at the sports field, you don't need to be in this building for God to meet with you. You don't need to be at church or a worship service or a prayer meeting for God to show up and begin to speak with you and begin to reveal things to you. But the key, though, is knowing the voice that when he shows up, that you say, oh, well, that's the Lord. There's something happened while I'm on YouTube. Lord, I'm here. Notice what I did? Close that up. Lord, sometimes it's just to get our attention. And then there's stillness. Stillness drives me crazy. I start fidgeting. I told you, I'm like a squirrel. Anything goes around. I'm like, Lord, where are you? Where are you? God will meet with you right where you're at. And he met with Gideon where he was at. But Gideon's like, hey, God, what's the deal? Now, none of you have ever had this conversation, but your pastor has. Your pastor said, God, what's the deal, man? Where are you? What's going on, man? I thought you're supposed to help. I thought you're supposed to intervene. You're the God of heaven and earth. You're the God of all creation. I'm your child. I'm your son. You know, I'm the one that you called this. And you laid all about. Where are you, God? Why is this happening to me? God, it's your fault because you're not here. Gideon's like, Lord, where are you? We heard all these great stories of miracles and signs and wonders and deliverance, and yet our people have been in bondage for 7 years. Where in the world are you? And I love how Gideon is trying to flip the script on it's God's fault. That it's God's fault that they're in that situation. Well, the reality, it wasn't God's fault. Do you know whose fault it was? Theirs. See, because at one point in their walk with God, all of a sudden they made everything else more important. They began to worship idols and false gods. They built altars and places of worship where they would have sacrifices to the goddess of the sun or the goddess of the maple leaf with two stems or the golden statue that was. And all of a sudden they were like, God, we know what you've done in the past, but you know what? They began to wander over here, and all of a sudden God became a distant thing, a distant memory almost. They walked out from that hand of provision and protection and deliverance and guidance. They chose to walk away. And then they're upset at God. Well, where are you, God? Why aren't you moving in that dimension? Hello? because you've replaced him with somebody else. And the person or the people or the things that you've replaced God with, they're not God. And because they're not God, this is what you're suffering at the hands of the Midianites. And so, you know, Gideon throws this out there. And the reality is, I'm going to be honest with you. There's idols today in the world. There's idols in the church. And just maybe we're worshiping something more than God, expecting something to happen when we've taken God and taken him off the throne and put something else in his place. Now, I know that's none of you, so I'm going to share this message with you so you can share it with others. Okay, now if it is you, don't beat yourself up, because what's happening today is a revelation. God is going to show you what it is. But then it's going to be our responsibility to tear the altar down. See, because the Lord said to Gideon, I need you to go and tear down the altars of Baal. And if you read the passage in Judges 6, 25 and 26, let's pull that up real quick. It says this. That night, the Lord said, tear down your father's Baal altar. Uh-oh. His own father's. Now it's generational. We got to tear down some generational altars. Things that past generations in our family lineage maybe have put in. He says, tear them down. Cut them down and build ones for me. And so, you know, he's called to destroy them. And I believe, just like Gideon, we're called to really look at what's more important in our lives than God. And the thing is, Gideon faithfully did that. He did it in the darkness of night, but he did it. By faith, he went out and he initiated the act of obedience by tearing down those altars with great courage. And we too must also begin to look and see, is there altars? Is there idols in my life greater than God? See, an idol is anything that has excessive devotion or reverence to. And when it comes to the idol worship of God, it's excessive devotion or excessive reverence to that takes the place or replaces the one true God. Then it becomes an idol. Now, I don't need to tell you what may be your idols, but I can tell you what, by looking in the culture of what we live in the world, what are some big idols in America right now and in the church? See, because it's not just in the world, it's in the church too. See, when I talk of idols, I'm talking about those things that replace, that become more important and actually more engaged with than even with God. Not only does it take the place, but it is engaged with more than even God. And so modern idols, don't listen, I am not saying this to make anyone feel guilty. I'm not saying this to make anyone feel like I have to do this, and that. I'm just telling you, and we can all be honest in here, of what some idols are. One is money. People love money more than they love God. Maybe if we love God more, we would have more money. Nothing wrong with money. Nothing wrong. If you have money, give your tithe, pay your bills, and enjoy life. Save, get stuff set up, that order. Give your tithe, your offering, your alms, pay your bills. If you got a savings for the kids' account, so we'll do that. And then whatever you have left, enjoy. If you have a lot of money, drop in, see Pastor Tommy about what we can do at Southtowns to impact the kingdom of God with a tax deductible slip attached to it, just so you know. Nothing wrong with money. Money, the problem with money is when it becomes everything to us. That's one idol. What about things, materials, material things? Nothing wrong with cars and boats and campers and vacation homes and cabins in the woods. I don't get that one, but if that's you, go for it. You know, nothing wrong with that stuff. But the minute that car replaces God, it's a problem. The minute that camper or that boat replaces all your time and all your effort and you're engaged more in that than God, then it's a problem. And you got to readjust. You may not have to get rid of it. You just may have to readjust the attention you give to it. Careers. Careers in America are amazing because people find it not to be a problem to work 80 hours a week while they have kids at home and they never see them and just drop a 20 on the table. Careers can become idols. Climbing the corporate ladder, it can become an idol. Figures in culture, popular figures in Hollywood, movie stars, athletes can become idols. Or we're all about them and God has no part of it. And we can go on and on. Popularity and having clout with people can become an idol. We're so driven to be accepted and to be popular and to be a certain thing. And even in the church, there's idols. I don't know if you know that. I've heard people talk more about pastors than they do Jesus. That's an idol. When you're seeking the pastor more than you're seeking Jesus, that's an idol. When you're lifting the pastor up more than Jesus, that's an idol. People worship the worship. They worship the worship. Christian will tell you that there are people that just worship the worship music itself. It becomes bigger than God to them. When that is a tool to lift God up, to exalt God, but they've made it God itself. Programs in school, in churches, kids programs, adult programs, recovery programs, all is put into them and Jesus, they become the go-to and Jesus is not. It happens. It's happening in America. And I believe that this word is for not just here, but for anyone who would hear it, that you have potential. It's time to rise up above the fear and allow God to begin to move in that potential. God's also calling us to look and take a self-look on the inside. Don't feel guilty. Don't beat yourself up. It's not why I'm saying this. I'm saying this that you can draw closer to God. Not feel bad. No, to feel excited, to feel happy, to know that, oh, wow, I didn't even realize this crept in. And now I spend more time on this computer can be an idol. The programs on this computer, YouTube, it's awesome. But if it's more time on YouTube than with God, it's not awesome. So what happened was Gideon tore him down. Gideon listened to the potential the angel was speaking about what he could do. He asked the questions of why is this happening? And they talked about how they had walked away from God. So they got right and they tore down the altars and they repented and they got before God. And then Gideon is standing with 32,000 people, an army of men, women possibly, I don't know, I don't know. But there was 32,000, the Bible says, and the Lord says, that's way too many, Gideon. Cut it down. And immediately, 22,000 leave. Now he's standing with 10. He's like, okay, still, now I'm a little more nervous. And God says, that's still way too many, Gideon. I want those who lap like a dog. Why like a dog? Because those who would pull the water up were still aware of what's going on around. Let me encourage you right now to be around people that are aware, that have your backside. Make sure you're connected with people that are lapping water like a dog so they have your backside. So you want to team up with people like that, okay? See, they're concerned not only about themselves, but they're concerned about everything else that's happening. And so God said, those, Gideon, are the 300 that I can use to bring victory. They're not going to bring the victory without me. You need to know that. We will not walk in the realm of victory that God wants to give us without God. Christian, you can come up. Without God. We need the Spirit of God. We need the leading of God. And the story goes, if you read it, that Gideon and his 300 experienced victory. Experienced victory. I love that. And so when I look at the story of Gideon, I realize that with God's presence and God's action, And in my surrender, in my obedience to what he's asking, no matter what the circumstance may be, God can move in a great fashion. Even Zechariah said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit that this will happen. Victory. See, I also realize that the greatest resource and strength that any one of us can have in life is the scripture that I lived on in college. Philippians 4:13. School was not easy for me. I had some really smart roommates. They'd study for 20 minutes and get an A. I'd study for 2 days and was excited over a C+ or a B. Right? I'm like, yeah, I made it. So I had to lean more on God. I learned that early. I learned that Philippians 4:13 said that I can do things through Christ who gives me the strength. I can live up to my full potential that God sees in me because it's Christ and his presence in me that gives me the strength and the ability to do it. I can walk through this circumstance, this situation, because of the Spirit and the presence of God in me, because he's the one fighting in front of me, at both sides, behind, above, and below. It's because of him that I can do that. It's because of him and because he's my number one. He's not third place. He doesn't take second seat to anybody or anything. He is my true God. He is truly exalted above everything else in my life. And Gideon got all that right, made all the necessary changes, and victory came. And in life, that story tells us less is more. Less is more when God is active and a part of it. Less is more. Less is more. My wife and I had some conversations about things recently. It goes right along with this. Less is more. Less is more. Less is more. Not because of me. I will fail miserably. I will fall on my face. I will get tired. My strength will be sucked out of me. But with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that promise, less is more. Each one of you have potential. From the youngest to whoever the oldest is in here. I'm not going to ask you to tell me your age. Youngest to the oldest. You have potential. Listen to what God is speaking about to your potential and where he wants to take you and what he wants to do in you. And then tear down anything that you've placed above him. Readjust life. Make the necessary changes. Become obedient and realize that in him, because of who he is in me, I can do this. I can look at the mountain and I know I'm going to the other side. I can be on the mountaintop enjoying life to the fullness, realizing that at some point this may end. I may have to go back through the valley, but also know this, that God never leaves or forsakes us. That he said, even while you're in the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. I will guide you. I will lead you. Less is more. Less is more when God's in it. Let's stand this morning. It's easy to preach. It's a little more difficult to live. A little more difficult to live. But thank God for grace and mercy. Now, you may struggle with your potential. I want to pray for that. And you may struggle because you have some idols in your life. And I want to pray for that. This is going to bring breakthrough. Believe that. I believe that. Phil, I have to use you as an example, and I'm sorry because I know your personality. I preface that apology first. But Phil is one of the most gifted mechanics that I know. I call him for questions on the side. And he owns and runs an amazing business. But that's not all God had called him to be. See, God looked at Phil and said, you know what? In you is such potential to be an amazing musician. And Phil accepted Jesus one day. I don't know when. It was Pastor Cole, wasn't it? Pastor, good old Pastor Cole, led him to the Lord. And his life changed that day. And then all of a sudden, everything that God saw in Phil began to be activated. He was trained as a child. Many of you don't know this. Phil plays the piano. Phil plays the bass. Phil plays the drums. Phil sings. Do you play the maracas? A little bit. A little bit. A little bit. A little bit. I play the triangle. He plays the maracas. But see, Phil, it wasn't until he understood the potential that God spoke to him about his gift and his talent and how God wanted to use him, we would not be blessed every Sunday for him to be here. He's bivocational, and here he is right now because of the potential in him that he said, I'm all in, God. Phil can tell you it hasn't been easy, right? Has not been easy. But just like Phil, you're the same way. In you is potential. Other people may not see it. Who cares? God sees it, and that's all that matters. Let me pray for your potential this day, that it rises up in you and you step into those arenas and areas that God's calling you. Teenagers, I'm so caught with our young people today. Teenagers across the sanctuary, don't let someone else tell you you can and cannot be successful, okay? Do not let someone else tell you that you're going to not make it, that you're going to fail. No, 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 no. Because in you is a seed of potential that God has planted. In you, young people, you can rise up and you can be the best at what God has for you. Let no one tell you you don't or you can't. Father, I pray right now for every person in this house. Father, we all sit here with potential. Gideon was threshing the wheat, and you showed up and called him what he was to become. We sit here, God, and you have a name for us. You have a name for us. Lord, I would pray that today we discover that name. And that God, just as Gideon did, as he surrendered unto you, Lord, as we surrender unto you, let us begin to live and function and move in the direction to see that potential come to pass, to come into action, to come into place in our lives. Lord, I come against those words that have said that we would be nobodies, we would do nothing great. We would just be this, this, and that. That is sown out of you, God. You're a God of life, not death. You're a God that brings encouragement. You're full of joy and peace. Lord, we pray that this day, that those seeds and that potential begins to be activated. Father, those who struggle with having you as their number one. Lord, today great revelation was given to those here and those online right now. Lord, as you've revealed those to us, the hard part now is removing them. Gideon struggled. He went at night. He brought people with him. Lord, we will struggle, but because of our faithfulness to you, God, and because of the strength of the Holy Spirit in us, we will have the ability to tear down every idol, every altar that has replaced you and your altar of worship. We will make the necessary adjustments. Holy Spirit, help us. Give us the strength. Give us the wisdom. Show us with great clarity what it may be. Because, God, we want to live life knowing that less is more, that with you is victory. With you is promotion. with you is advancement. Yes, there'll be tough days and rough times, and but we lean on the scriptures knowing that you don't leave us. You're there with us. You're helping us. You're walking alongside of us. So Lord, help us this day to be all that we can be for you. For you, God. I ask these things in your precious Son's name, Jesus. Amen and amen. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Potential. It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing in the hands of God. Real quick, just one announcement today. Water baptism. Next Sunday, 10 a.m. service. It'll be part of the service. So we won't be staying later and later. It'll be worked into our actual service itself. And so we have a big water baptism this next Sunday. I think last time I counted, it was close to 14 or 15 people. Exciting. Exciting to see that happening. And maybe you want to be water baptized. Well, you still have an opportunity. We actually added a second class. If you couldn't make Tuesday's class, we've added a Wednesday class. So Tuesday night and Wednesday night as our water baptism class that you need to take, kind of gives a better understanding of it and got some stuff we will do. And then next Sunday at the 10 a.m. service right here in our baptismal tank, we're going to do our water baptisms. And so if you want to sign up, you need to go online. There's a place for that. You can register. And I'll be contacting all those who've signed up tomorrow about any questions that you may have. And so if you don't want to do water baptism this time, we will be doing it at our outside church service at our picnic this year. But you need to know, it's going to be like in a galvanized trough type thing, because we're going to be out, you know, it's going to be really cool. It's not going to be like the bougie 90 degree water tank back there with the glowing lights underneath, and as you step down as Pastor Dan or Pastor Rob take your hand, you're going to go in a galvanized tank in the middle of the field, and we're going to baptize you in the name of Jesus. You're going to come out fired up, just like you're here, you know, as you step out. Oh, the air is too cold from this water. Either one, you sign up, because you know what the most important thing is? You're declaring out loud what you believe and how God changed me. That's what it's about. Now, you all know me. You know what I'm picking, right? The tank. But go ahead and sign up for that. Thank you for being here today. It's been an honor to share the word with you. It's a blessing to be with you on Sundays as being our church family. And so let's pray for our offering and dismiss this day. So God, I thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you've declared, everything that you revealed, even calling the prodigals home. Remove that weight of burden of feeling unworthy of acceptance, and God, how it's faith in you that brings us into that divine relationship, and it's not what we work, what we can do, but it's that belief in you. Lord, I come to you now, and I acknowledge and thank you for your provision in every area of our lives, financially, physically, materially, food. Well, God, every provision we thank you for. And Lord, we come today and we end this service with an act of worship, even outside as we walk out of these doors. We worship you by honoring that provision. As your word says, we bring in the first fruit of the harvest, the first portion of our finances this day into the storehouse. The church is the storehouse. For God, we receive it, and then we put it to use to build the kingdom of God. So God, we recognize it has come from you. We recognize we've managed it. We recognize we'll continue to manage it to build the kingdom. We come joyfully before you today, and we say thank you. God, as we sang, I pray a blessing, and I pray your hand of favor over all the giving and over every person in this place today and those watching online. And we thank you, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you during the week.